Nada.
All the glory belongs to you. All the honor belongs to you. All the adoration belongs to you. Glory to your name. Glory to your majesty. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are so glad. We're so happy. We look within and without. We see how much you care for us. We see how much you take care of us. We give you all the praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you please have your seat in God's presence? You can welcome someone to your left and to your right. Can you tell the person that you're welcome to a powerful service? I want you to say that you're welcome to a powerful service. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Magic, Tiwa is not around. Oh, she's okay. Okay. Hallelujah. How was Messiah's love yesterday? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So today, I want us to quickly look at quitting childishness, which is another aspect of the conversation that we're looking at, which is formation of the Lord's army. Amen. And it's so good to see every one of us. Thank God for how God is helping us know daily that He is with us. And we're pretty sure that no matter what we see around us, we know that God is still invested in this earth. God is still doing a lot to ensure that His will is done on earth. So God hasn't suspended and left the enemy to be having fun and be doing anything that he deems fit. And that's also why we have this conversation where we say that God has an army on earth as he has a host of army in heaven that fulfill his pleasure. But we are now privileged to, some people could have asked or said that it's not easy if God just appointed the same angels in heaven to be fighting on earth. They could seem to be more useful. Like, it wasn't as though they couldn't send out Lucifer, and then, you know, the way you're trying to cast out a demon, you are telling them, come out, I will not come out, come out, I will not come out. That was not the way they chased out Lucifer that Isaiah prophesied. It says, and there was war in heaven. The war happened, and they displaced Lucifer and his angels. So it wasn't like Lucifer said, give me like 5 years. So at times you could think they could be, even while here on earth, we still have some heavenly intervention. Right? But with that in mind, God hasn't put aside the importance of the church. You know, at times, for many of us, when we see something that is ineffective, we would immediately go for what is perfect. Like, at times when you see something that is not working, you don't want to waste time to make it work. But rather, You just want follow come that is perfect. An angel is follow come that is perfect. You know, when you say that this angel is meant to do this, they won't start training the angel. In just the same way that they are training, you know, they will tell us to read our Bible, pray every day. They are not telling an angel to read his Bible, to pray every day. He just knows what to do, or he knows what he is meant to do, and he gets results. So if you were God, maybe you would have changed your mind and just deploy. You know, the angel that is leg is the only one that covers the surface of the earth. That's the one you send. Because you don't like stress. Hallelujah. Amen. But God is so gracious that he is consistent with his word. And that's why they still can't understand his relationship with man. It says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Like, there's always a question in the... It's not obvious, but there's always a question in the heaven. We don't even know who is asking it. The writer of Hebrews captured it. It says, that voice is, who is man that you are mindful of him? I think David captured it as well. Because David was a man that was also after God's heart. It says, who is man that you are mindful of him? Okay, thank you. This is David. And the son of man that you visit him. You know, Isaiah used the word, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. It says, where is the house that you have built for me? Now, the focus was a man. Hallelujah. Yeah. So God is still so much interested in using man to accomplish his will on earth. In using man to accomplish his will on earth. There are places where the strength of man may look insignificant. But God will still say, is this man that will accomplish this thing? You know, when Goliath came at the children of Israel, God didn't need to, you know, they didn't need those number of days that Goliath was threatening the children of Israel. They would just send one angel, and then they would just misspell Goliath. You know, when they mean they misspell someone, like they just change the configuration of the brain. And his height, his strength, everything would be so useless. And then they would have seen the miraculous hand of God. So at times, the way God does things, it helps us to understand how God intends to do a thing. At times, you might think he's wasting time. He actually doesn't even have time. At times, you might think he just wants to prove that he's God. No. He doesn't want to prove that he's God. So today we will be looking at, you know, because I want to quickly help some people. You know, last week, we said some people are not deployable, you know. Since they got into this, our company, they've remained non-deployable, meaning God has not been able to deploy them. God has not been able to commission them, to send them. God has not been able to look at a people that need rescue. And, you know, when they ask the same question, this similar question in heaven, who will go for us? And those kind of questions are still going on. There's still a people that God wants to deliver from one or two things. That God needs a man that he can send, that he can deploy. And one of the things that keep us undeployable is childishness. Childishness. When you're recruited into the army, you were never meant to stay childish. Now, you were recruited as a child. The only thing, let me just say this and move on. The only thing they would want you to retain as you grow, or as you become deployable, is childlikeness, not childishness. Amen. I mean, when you look at childlikeness, meekness, lowliness, those are the ones that they want you to retain. There are some things they still want us to be as children. We should be childlike. For example, fighting for position, we should be childlike. Preferring the other to us. Those are the things they still want us to retain. But there are some attributes in that babyhood that they don't, that is costing heaven resources. And those are the childish attitudes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's first of all read our main scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4. Or maybe just verse 3 and 4. There's no time. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy here. But I think the first thing that we see here that can cost a soldier his life, his position, his mandate, is when he entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And so when we came into this fold by redemption, God immediately puts us under governors and what? Teachers or tutors. So that all the things that they've promised that we would accomplish, he says a child, as long as he's a what? Or a heir. As long as he's a child, he remains a what? A slave. Even though he's a what? So he's in a place of plenty, but he is a slave. He's simply saying that he's not able to harness every provision that God has embedded in that place until he is put under tutors, governors, guardians, so that the will and the hope of God can be fulfilled on that child. So God has invited all, but he didn't stop at that invitation. Actually, that invitation is to begin another journey so that that man, that woman can be deployable. But somehow a lot of people still find it possible to stay childish. Can we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Are we there? "For though by this time..." Maybe can we back it up a little bit? Okay, maybe let's start. "Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." Hallelujah. We'll see here that this is a baby that would need milk, right? But it says that Apostle Paul was trying to, it says, "You're dull of hearing, and even as it is now, you ought to be teachers. you ought to be people that can now teach others the principles of God. But we are still so much focused on you because you haven't even grabbed the first principles. There's a reason why they put there the first principles. Because there are many other things we would learn of God. This was the thing that Paul said, if God permits, we'll come back to mention this. But he says, leaving the elementary, I think that was in, is that 6? Hebrews 6, Abby? No, don't go there, don't go there. He says, I expect that you are teachers now. Now, this is very interesting because we all want to be taught. We all should be taught. Because if we are not taught, we would not believe. That's what he said. He says, how shall they hear except a preacher is sent to them? But it started from how would they believe except they are taught? So we all want to be taught so that we grow. I mean, the reason for we being taught is so that we can grow, we can become all that God wants us to become. But teaching alone, I mean, we being taught does not alone fulfill all that idea of being all that God would want you to be. God expects that we grow and then we become teachers, people that can also teach others. So look at it in this simple way. We have people that are, you know, they are recruited into the army as babes. And then people would have to look out for them, right? But we know that God intends to add daily to the church. So imagine if in the book of Acts, the first 3,000 or 5,000, if they remained babes, the frequency at which God was adding daily to the church. Now, let's even imagine if God was adding one person daily to the church. In a year, it means that church would have 365 or 366 new converts. Now, imagine if the people that were added remained, or the first people that were added, they remained babes. It means after a while, the church will be full of babies. And the very good characteristic of babies is they would only need milk. Or they will be so entangled with the affairs of this life. We're going somewhere. I wish I can quickly do this and move to another conversation, but I don't know. Let's just trust God. So he says, I really hope that you are already teachers. And that's why when they tell you grow up, it is a scriptural, they're not telling you to grow outside of being a child of God. They are saying remain childlike, but leave childishness. Because we've also seen people that they say they don't want to be babies again. Then they threw both childish, so-called childishness, and they completely threw out childlikeness. They were no longer meek. They were now voracious in attacking people, not in consuming the word of God. Glory to God. So we would only keep desiring the first principles of the oracles of God and desiring milk. And we will not desire strong meat if we remain childish. See, the end of this conversation is childishness would not make us deployable. God will not find victory with a childish church. You know, a childish church is the church that wants to remain spoon-fed. A childish church is the one that wants, or a childish child of God is the one that just wants to attend church. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Paul, I mean, yeah, some of us would say it's Paul that wrote Hebrews, but whosoever is the writer of Hebrews, I mean, some people say he is, but that's not what I'm looking at. But whosoever wrote this was really, you know, this was also in this line of thought. He says strong meat belongs to them who through use and exercise. They've exercised themselves. He says, but strong what? Oh, solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason, yeah, of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, you know what? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. So God wants us to be teachers so that we can all become disciples that can disciple others. You know, when he told Peter, I will make you fishers of men. It's not that you would only be fished, but after a while, I can send you back there to rescue others. So you can see that it's an abnormality if a child of God cannot rescue others. It's not good. You are the one in the need. You've not found it worthy that God take me. You know, let me not always be seeing my own need, but rather let me be consumed by fulfilling or meeting the needs of others that are in need. Ephesians 4:14. 14, that's what I'm going to. I hope it's 14 though. Okay, let's read 13 together. Yeah. Please don't forget, we want to quit childishness. See, when the Lord says he has an army, we'll look at the army of Gideon and we'll see that God doesn't like to walk with a childish army or a childish soldier. Actually, God is always looking for how to exonerate them. Because God does not want casualties on the babe. Now, if the warrior has casualty, that's a wounded soldier. A wounded soldier is not a babe or a childish soldier. That one is a casualty. Amen. If, for example, if Nigeria sent a troop or a battalion or a platoon to go and fight, and they don't have weaponry, they were not trained, they don't have anything, that's casualty. Those are not wounded soldiers. They were not wounded while fighting. They were sent there to just die. Do you understand? That's why a soldier would not like it when you send them without armory. That's when you see them agitating and all that. But if you send a soldier with bazooka, nuclear weapon, the guy is even happy that if I'm trying to use this weapon and I also die, I know that I killed the enemy. So that's the mindset of a wounded soldier. A wounded soldier is not the one, you know, I think there were some stories of some soldiers when they got to Iraq, the guy just ran away. That's not, and then they kidnapped him, Taliban kidnapped him. That one is not a wounded soldier. Somehow he passed through all the checks, but he was still childish. Verse 14. It says that we should not be children. Now, this you have to be careful when Bible says don't be children. If you throw away the childlikeness, you'll be a devil. When he says don't be childish. Because for a child is who can feed me. Even if it is a demon that is feeding baby, as long as the milk is entering the mouth, it's fine. The demon can go and repent. A baby is not that concerned. He says, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of provision. Let me use that word. Because for a child, is where solution? Now, when somebody has 15 churches, it's a child. Now, even when we say logically, that's irresponsibility. Because if you were God, how will you make allocation for the person? Because the person is in this five-day conference. After that five-day conference, those ones, they will continue their service, but you've left there to another another 10-day conference. So he says, toss to and fro. Because he is not yet a teacher. He's not busy. And he hasn't grasped the first principles of the oracles of God. See, that line, first principles of the oracles of God, that one tells you that when you have that, you have a good heritage. Nobody can bamboozle you. He says he's tossed to and fro and carried about. That means he's light. He does not have weight. He's like leaf. He's carried about, no weight. Even that to and fro tells him that he doesn't yet have an appetite. See, if you can eat all the food in the whole world, you are not a human being. No. Yeah, if you can eat all the, like, if you just enter Sweden, you just have the taste bud. You can just eat their food. You are strange. It's not normal. They even say that in your body, bacteria that help you to eat the kind of food you eat here. For example, if a white man comes here and just goes to your buka, going there, we're going. Oh my God, diarrhea. There was one investor that did that. He came to greet us. He said, oh, I'll just enter the street. I said, okay. Even we don't enter streets. Throughout all his visit here, he was in toilet. Imodium could not help him because there's no bacteria inside of his tummy that can adapt to that kind of food. Maybe he just drank our agbalumo and piam. His metabolism just got scattered. But if you can eat everything, you can eat this one, you can eat this one, you can eat this one. There's nothing you cannot. That's a child. Tossed to and fro. See, you will be a true son when some things cannot enter your mouth again. Like they are trying to force it inside my, no. I already know the first principles of God. This one is not God. And he's carried about with every wind. Every wind can carry the baby. Or the childish one, every wind can carry him. Even says the trickery of men, meaning the deception of men, is it will fall victim. He says the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You can see this is a casualty. It means with this person in our midst, we will not have all the attention. That was why he says, woe unto that woman that is nursing a child in the day of war. Because she will be so concerned, this baby must not be carried away. This baby, nobody, you will be so distracted. So you are not just a loss to yourself, you are also a loss to us. Because you are causing us to deplete in resources. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is something we have to quit because it will cost us a lot. Because we know that somebody is already deceived in our midst. And God doesn't want any one of us to remain a child. It's not just that we will not be useful, it's also that we would be a loss to the kingdom of heaven. You know, let's quickly look at consequences of remaining childish in the army. See, I already said you're recruited, but you have to be deployed. Deployment is what tells us that you're a real soldier. If we only know that you have a seat, but you are not useful in the house of God, you only stay at recruitment. And like I said, see, an Egyptian that stayed in Goshen doesn't mean he has converted to what? Israel. Or he has become a Jew. Another wind will carry him. And by the time the children of Israel leave Goshen, there is no provision again. So let's look at consequences of remaining childish. Number one is the child or the childish soldier, so-called soldier. He remains daydreaming and wishing that there will not be war, or let's just be inside the victory. The dreaming is the order of his day. You know, when a disciple of Jesus says, can I just be like Jesus without going through the sufferings of Christ? That's a child. He's the one that will forego process. You used to look at a redemption camp. How I just wish they just write the will of redemption camp for me. God cannot work with you. You are just daydreaming. See this man. God has really dealt. I just wish I can just, he can just impact me with his results. That's a childish soldier. He's just daydreaming. Oh, this, Papi's life is beautiful. I just wish I can just start my own from here. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So the childish one is just daydreaming. He's the one that is always given to folk tales when we are planning war strategy. Old wives' fable. Hello. He's the one given to stories. We are planning how we are going to. He's the one given to stories. He's also the one that quickly identifies what will not make it possible. So he's daydreaming. That's what he does all day. For the childish one, we will need a lot of providing supervision for the person to carry out basic tasks. Because it's a consequence to us, it's a trouble to us. If they just said, go and pray for that brother, and we're just checking. Hope it's not the brother that is now praying for you. that's why we can't send the childish to go and evangelize for you. He will be evangelized. He will just come back and say that, I don't believe in Jesus again. We sent him on evangelism. He came back, he converted. He became an unbeliever. So we will need a lot of supervision for him to carry out basic tasks. For the childish ones, we can't commit serious things or things that are of high value to the childish. I don't know if you've had to give your child the key to the car to drive you guys to the church. You know you won't be here. So serious things are not committed. Actually, the things of the kingdom are not committed to childish people. You know what? Let's quickly read Judges chapter 7. Not Jude. Judges chapter 7. Let's quickly read the story of the army of Gideon. Because like we said last week, if you have a sense that you have not been deployed yet, stay in prayer and in the word. Stay there. That's where you will find your own. There was a day at times when I see people fulfilling their God-given assignment, I don't know if it pricks your own heart. Me, it pricks my own heart. There was an instance, I asked the people around me, I said, do you think I've started fulfilling my... And they were trying to appraise someone. For this one to be happening, I said, you guys are kidding. I don't even think I've started. But there was a particular day, you know, the prayer was, I was seeing some of my... The people that I feel were probably recruited almost at the same time. This one's already using his life to do this for Jesus, for the kingdom. And I said, well, what was my own real assignment? She said, okay, why won't run? Or I should just come and celebrate. And then I had a dream. In that dream, it was so prophetic. It was like we were all in a queue. And there was an entrance. And obviously, it was just an entrance. Every other thing is just, you are just progressing or moving forward. And I saw that, in that dream, my attention was drawn to the entrance. And I heard two words specifically. I think this was in the year 2008. That your assignment is to bring in and ensure no one goes out. Now, the question I was also asking was, I also want to be preaching Jim Jim message. So that I remember, that was also, I was like, everything shouting, boom, God, we shall praise, get saved, be saved, Jesus loves you. God, lead me to, you know, there's the sardine stone, there's something in between. He said, you are not serious. He said, your work is to ensure you bring in and ensure the one that want to backslide cannot backslide. So that's why they gave me the simple message. So that the one that want to come in can understand. And the one that want to leave can see understand. When I woke up, I said, okay, I think I know my work. And since then, I've never been distracted by another person achieving his own. I'm just looking at who am I ensuring I'm getting in? And who are the people I'm ensuring that, oh, they love? Maybe on another person's watch, you can go. But on my own watch, you can't. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have to stay in the place of prayer and word. You will find that there's something for you that they need to train you about so that you can be deployed. Let's look at Jude, please. Jude chapter 7. Sorry, Judges. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose up early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Now, at times we always think the army is number. But for God, the army is not number. The army is soldiers. He says, there are too many. For me, and you know, like we said, see, when you are in the Lord's army, we are marching on to victory. Victory is assured. We are not fighting for victory. We are rather fighting from victory. So he said, I want to give you the Midianites. But this army, in my own eyes, they are too much. Lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying my own hand has saved me. Verse 3. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, so this was the first criteria to separate the army. He says, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000, like if I was Gideon, I would depart as well. Yeah, because the whole army has gone. Like 22,000. Because at the beginning of this, Gideon would be having the complex of victory. Because some of the soldiers, some of the armies they went to fight, some of them were not up to this. Like the Midianites were about 15,000. So having 22 plus 10, that's 32. So having 32,000, when you just have an idea, 15,000 at least, but you 1-to-1. Or I think 2-to-1 self can even go. So if I do 2-to-1, I think if they kill one, this other one can. At least I will have maybe half back. But God had to quickly identify the army. That this is not the army of the Lord, though. You might think this is your own army. It's not my own army. Because these ones, when they go now, because the victories are sure, they will now claim the glory. It says 22,000 of the people returned because they were fearful and afraid. And 10,000 remain. Verse 4, please. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still many. See, God will not remove you from his plan, so. He says, bring them down to the water and I will test you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. So I will tell you this one is deployable. This one is not deployable. And God threw, it was a puzzle. And to be very honest, this was a very difficult puzzle. Because what God used to judge was the people that would go for comfort or the people that will endure hardship. You know, that's what he told Timothy. He says, see, what stamps you being a good soldier is that you can endure hardship. The very funny thing is, fear and that, the people that were fearful and afraid, you will later find out in verse 8, that even Gideon, chapter 8, Gideon too was afraid. That was why he went to go and fear. God told him, if you're afraid, I know you're afraid, but if you're afraid, go and check the camp first and hear what they are saying. Then come back because you're not sure whether I'll give you victory. So in that 22, actually, it's probably all the camp. But some people just, oh God, boju bon face. We are not fearful. Yeah. Because the Bible said Gideon was afraid. Maybe he wasn't fearful, but he was afraid. He says, this one shall go with you. The same shall go, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you. The same shall not go. Verse 5. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hand, and they sent away all the rest of Israel. So how many people were sent back altogether? No. 30-something thousand, though. Because it's 300 that remained. 31,000? Okay. Every man to his tent and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore in multitude. Like, that's a very simple way, or maybe hard way, to just say that these ones were accountable. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Now, God just gave us here a little insight into how he puts disarray in the camp of the enemy. At times, we're always wondering the way God is so sure that he will give us victory. This was just God telling Gideon, let me just give you a little glimpse of how I... And the children of Israel did not fight in this battle. It was the enemies that fought themselves. Verse 15. And so it was when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel. And so he was strengthened and he went back. And he said to his army, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian. Like, that dream is a very, very funny dream. It says a barley bread. Like, they say bread that became maybe like a rolling stone rolled on them. Like, how we bread? Bread, like bread. Become a thing that will collapse their tent. You know that God has already touched the brain there. Because for you to see a bread breaking a tent, you can most likely take a sword and kill your next. And the one that interpreted it to you, also interpret. He didn't say, you are so stupid. How will you think bread will... That's how God messes our enemies up. You may be trying to understand how God gives us victory. God achieves it simply. No, go back to, yeah. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, though there were companies of 100 in three places, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers, torches, inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise, watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you do as I do. So there's a whole lot to learn, like I said here, that the army that, or the group of the army that decided to go on their knees to be comfortable to drink water, God did not find pleasure in them for them to be deployed. He says those ones that would lap, those are the ones that are fit. Hallelujah. Amen. So like I said, it will cost us a great deal if those that are childish, they join the army of the Lord. Another consequence is that because they are untrained, they don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity to endure. Because they are untrained. The reason why you remain a child is because you are not trained. It's because you have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Can we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11? I don't know if someone is making a decision, looking at yourself and trusting God to deliver you from everything that has made you thus far undeployable. And it's very simple. God has not just found it worthy to commit. You know, when you see yourself, you know whether you have kingdom treasures with you. I'm not even telling you something that you should be looking to the skies. The thing that has not made you deployable is within. He says, when I was a child, because there will be a time when you will be a child. We were all children until we gave ourselves to teachings. He says, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, now my emphasis is I put away. Can you say I put away childish things? So this is what you do to childish things. Because it will cost you a lot. It will cost us also a lot. And maybe a final scripture we should read is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 1 to 2. God won't do great things with childish people. Because God knows they will chicken out. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes. So you can see why carnality is still in the church, or carnality is still being spoken of. It's because there are many, 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 many babes. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. He says, I can't write to you as to spiritual people. Who are we other than spiritual people? Like, this is even a statement that should cause a provocation in the church. And the prayer point should be, oh God, deliver us from babyhood. Because we know that this whole letter, they could have written something better. Like, they deprived us, this church. You can see how this church costs. They are costing us. Because the real letter that they should be writing to a spiritual Corinth church, we don't know. We don't know. He said, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people. So all the letters we're writing here is to a carnal church. And we're trusting God not to be a carnal church from this letter. We're not going to marry the wife of our daddy. It's from this letter. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't know that there were spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He says, I wrote to you as to carnal. So if your Bible study has been using 1 Corinthians to teach you really well, yeah, maybe your carnality is. He said, hey, sir, I lost a fish at me, lo. No. Corinthians Lamau. Is either you have remained a canal, you've remained a babe. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't want to be a people that God is not giving his real investment on. Rather, it's another thing they are giving to us because we have remained babes in Christ. Yeah, he's in Christ. But he's babes in Christ. Those who have decided not to be teachers, but rather they've remained to still being taught the first principles of the oracles of God. They are still given to the cunningly deception of men or deceitfulness of men. Hallelujah. Amen. So God will not deploy an army that remains babe. You know, let me say to us, because you may be asking, I want to put away childish things. Well, what should I do? I think the first thing that we said is, see, you have to be trained. See, one of the things that would make us trust that we can give you a weapon is that you are not a child. Else, you will use that weapon to kill us. Because without a weapon, you would not cause just damage to yourself. You will cause damage to us as well. So be trained, be trained, be trained, be trained. That's how you develop muscles to be able to do away with childish things. When a childish person is in the army of the Lord, when he sees the army coming, you know, imagine making a childish person the watchman. He will leave. Like he will escape. He will run for his life. And he will forget that he's a watchman. Can we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10? And I think maybe that's the final. Chapter 10, I think verse 16. I like that place. Yes, verse 16. I feel like even reading it with a megaphone. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child. and your princes feast in the morning. But my emphasis is, when the king is a child, the land will not see prosperity. So that home that God has given to you, be childlike, oh. But all this childishness will not get that home to prosperity. Rather, it will be infighting. It will be that you did not do this. You too, you did not do this. He says, woe to that land. Who's king? Like, we've appointed you as a king. We've vested in you a lot of things. But he says that our land is woe. Prosperity will not come to that land. So you can see that a king that is a child, everybody in that land should just go and sleep. And either pray two prayers that the king will sleep and not wake up. Yeah. Because as long as that king is still a child, that land will be a slave. It says, woe to that land. So you can see a lot of things that are going to, that are escaping your space because they don't have a landing pad. There is no ability for you to withhold them. How much of the dealings of God are we expecting to have had already that we've not even experienced because we don't have capacity to bear them? See, one prayer I always pray for myself is, every ability or inability that would not make the dealings of God to settle on me, that God should deal with them. Because you don't want to be an example of people that God could not work with. Like God wanted to work with you. Now, there are people that God does not have desire to work with. Those ones, they are the reprobate mind. Even they will say, God, work with me. God will say, no. That's the one that cannot be fruitful in anything in God. Like God is saying, see, God, hello me. Allah says, no, me, lelue. I can't use you. But the childish one does not want to be used. He's just daydreaming. They will tell you that this is the route to having power in God. You will say, God, just get me there. They say pray. They say fast. They say walk by faith. So we are missing a lot by being childish. And today is the end for childishness. Today is the end. And I don't know whether you want to respond to God in prayer or you want to just say, God, I put away childish things. I put away things that have deprived me. I put away my own confidence and I take the God confidence. Father, help us today. Help us, oh God. Make us people that you can find deployable. Make us people that you can use for your glory. Make us people that you know that victory that is assured can be obtained by these ones. Everywhere you've placed us, remove childishness. Places you've expected us to stand up for God, to stand up for Jesus. And cowardice have beaten us down. Intimidations have beaten us down. We rise up again. Places our head have been bowed because we've also shut our mouth to declare we are soldiers of Christ. And we will not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. Can you just pray that, Father, I put away childish things. Whatsoever represents childishness in me, I put them away. I put them away. I put them away in the name of Jesus. I do without them in the name of Jesus. Things that have kept me non-progressive, still needing milk, not desiring the solid food. Things that have kept me lame, undesirous of growth in God. Things that have kept me on my heels, running to and fro, from pillar to post. Help me. Help me. I stay in one place for me to be taught, for me to be endued with power, so that I can endure hardship, so that I can endure as a good soldier.